Welcome to the Monthly Trainwreck, a show entirely based upon anonymity. We only go by alias names, so our professional lives may never cross. Even our guests go undisclosed to protect the innocent. This episode is our special coronavirus doomsday prepper edition, recorded via Zoom from our personal bunkers. We revisit with our resident prepper J-Dog from our original podcast, released back in October of 2019. We discuss the current state of the country and how prepping coincides with COVID-19. This episode is brought to you by our favorite veteran-owned company, Zook & Lou Hats, along with our friends at Spider's Batting Gloves. We would also like to give a shout-out to our friends Cash and Casey over at the Me vs. Her podcast. All of our friends can be found with direct links on our website, monthlytrainwreck.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to sit back, relax, and climb all aboard!
Welcome, train wreckers. We're here for a special coronavirus prepper edition with our favorite doomsday prepper, J-Dog, is back by popular demand. With that being said, we're all in our bunkers. Some of our bunkers are better than others, right, Hollywood?
Definitely. It's not fair, but I feel very blessed. My bunker is down south, so I'm in a very happy place.
And the rest of us?
We're a little more worse climates than Hollywood, for sure.
Since no one is at podcast headquarters, I'm going to do the screwball shot for everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers. And J-Dog, thanks for coming back. First question, of course, is I just want to make sure, do you have enough toilet paper?
Yeah, that was the funny part. I didn't need to buy any, and I've got plenty. Is that like they say, bales worth? So plenty of bales.
What's the deal with that? Why did everyone want toilet paper?
My understanding of it is because we're not at offices using the toilet paper every day. We've added incrementally per household, and with the kids being home and not going to the bathroom at school, you're just going to naturally use more of it at home, and people in our country going without toilet paper. So
I was wondering about that too, because is that something you thought about and you're prepping prior to this event?
Oh yeah. We thought about it just from all the prepping is about non-access to things. So you stockpile certain things and you use certain things, and there's kind of a new term. It's not really a new term, but people are talking more now about having a deep pantry. In other words, whatever you like to eat, whatever you have in your pantry that you stockpiled and bought for the stuff you like to eat and your family likes to eat, well, you got to make it bigger. You got to go out and get more of that. That was the idea. So,
have you had resources, or have you gone into your stockpile of goods?
Yeah, I've gone into my stockpile a little bit, but we bought some last minute things at Costco and Trader Joe's, just primarily some, fresh vegetables and that kind of stuff we bought. So we're eating our refrigerator first. We'll probably eat our freezer second. And then if this extends and goes and we are quarantined for, greater periods of time, even though the grocery stores are open, we will then eat, as my wife likes to say, please don't make me eat Spam, which I won't. We've got plenty of other good food. So
given the circumstances, have you entered into this mode now of being more sheltered? I mean, obviously we have the safe at home type of guidelines going on. Are you now instituting your own prepping techniques or whatever the term?
Yeah. With this particular one, we were basically, for lack of a better word, totally prepared. We have masks. We had personal protection equipment. I've got gas masks, biohazard, severe attack. I've got a lot of different things. We were, for all intents and purposes, pretty much totally prepared. Now, with that said, the real key is, as far as this quarantine goes, our goal is to avoid or absolutely eliminate any meeting with anyone. I mean, that's why we're not going to the grocery store. We're not going to Costco. We're not running out. We're just trying to avoid all people because we don't know who's got this invisible plague, for lack of a better word. So we're going to do that for 2 or 3 weeks and then see if nationally they can slow it down, as they say, compress the curve, which is what they're trying to do by avoiding other people.
Now, are you a part of what would be considered a broader community of people who take the same approach to preparations that you do? And if so, what have you been hearing out there from your peers?
I've got an internet community of guys and ladies. Some are nurses, some are docs. We talk about a lot of things. We're talking about the financial aspects of it and what it's going to do economically. We pay close attention to what the case account statistics are, and there's several sources for that, some good, some bad, some highly questionable. Anything coming out of China is questionable in our view. But I can tell you that, if I can mention this, that one of the websites you should go to that has got an incredible series of videos on it, which he does a live one every day at 4 o'clock, and that's peakprosperity.com, Chris Martinson. And he's trained as a microbiologist, but then ended up in the financial industry. So he looks at both things, and that's why he's able to discuss prosperity and the stock market and the economy very intelligently, but then is well dialed into epidemiology, what's going on in the world around us. I kind of listen to him each day to see if it's spreading. He's been very, very concerned about the exponential spread of this particular contagion because, A, it's invisible. We started testing late. You don't know who you've been exposed to. And that's why basically his rule of law is stay inside and don't hang out with anybody. And if you do go into a place, be wearing a mask, rubber gloves, and anything else. And then when you come back into the house, throw your clothes in the wash, watch your doorknobs, wash your hands all day long. I went ahead and put new soap dishes and bar soap next to every sink in the bunker and bought the kind of paper towels that you usually load into a dispenser. So we keep a stack of those recycled brown paper towels like you find at work or
public bathrooms and stuff.
Yeah, public bathrooms. Put your hands and grab it. I don't have to go near the paper towel. I've got one thing that's what we use, and then I throw it out. So that's kind of been what our philosophy is from a hygiene standpoint. We carry the hand sanitizer in the car. So,
do you wear a mask and gloves?
If I'm going to go out, like I ran to the office, which is vacant yesterday, there was no one there. So I drove there and I don't know who touched the doorknob going into it. I went to get some papers, but yeah, I was wearing a mask and gloves.
When we talked back in October, we talked about different scenarios. You know, we didn't get quite as in detail about a pandemic, but we touched on it. Given that this is the closest event that we've had in many, many years, do you feel like there are some things you would have prepped for differently? Now that, I mean, you learned from this event saying, okay, maybe I should have done this.
No question about it. I would have most definitely had a greater stock of masks. Although, innovation is taking place when it comes to masks. If you Google on making your own mask, there are a lot of people that talk about their little women that are stitching them right now with elastic. In fact, if you go to Amazon, you cannot buy any quarter inch elastic anywhere for 2 months. That's the delay because they're all using it for the ear bands. Mm-hmm. But also you can break apart a HEPA qualified vacuum cleaner bag that you could pick up at Home Depot. And if it's HEPA certified for filtering dust and things like that, you can cut that material apart, sew it on the inside behind some cloth, making yourself a mask. And if you go to YouTube, you'll see all kinds of videos, and that will actually help. Maybe not 100%, maybe not with a full seal, but that will help you protect getting the droplets and the other aerosol viral microbes that are floating. And the 6 feet rule is pretty smart because people are just emitting this stuff. So you want to stay away from it, and you don't know where they are. You know, that cabana boy that's coming to visit Hollywood later today, that young 17-year-old dude.
Yeah, I'm willing to risk it. No,
she doesn't care.
At least make him 18.
Yeah, right.
That's the legal age, please.
That's only one of the viruses he's probably got.
Not in Tijuana.
You know, but the real deal is that I'm not willing to risk it. I don't know enough about it. There is an incredible and inordinate amount of disinformation or questionable information, whether some things are really happening. So, you know, I play devil's advocate. I tend to bounce around and listen to a lot of things and try and assemble what's actually going on. It's like they're reporting 700 deaths a day coming out of New York right now. And that's a huge number. And they're saying, quote, they're all from coronavirus. But New York has 700 deaths a day normally, every day in that huge state. That's how many people are dying just from everything under the sun. So once again, that leads you to start questioning the numbers and what's going on and, you know, where things are happening. Now, I do know people are dying from coronavirus, but it's to the extent from which they're dying. So we don't know. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Are you one of those people who are glued to the TV and listening and taking it all in? Or I tend to take the other approach. I'll watch a little bit every day, but sometimes the media gets into your head. And they, like you said, 700 people are dying, but not necessarily from coronavirus.
I don't watch television. I tend to go to what I believe are more trusted, analytical, common sense, rational people who do really good deductive reasoning on what's going on. And they'll look at a number and they question a number. And then they'll ask about it. Like they were the first ones who said, you know, the stuff coming out of China doesn't make sense from these other sources. Like they're looking at cell phone activity is not as strong. So it means 5 million people in China aren't using their cell phones. What does that tell you? We got to ask. Whereas China says everything, the communist government in China says everything is fine and everything is returning. So, but there's not as much smog, which means not as many factories are running. They've had an air pollution problem over there. So the guys that I watch are looking at that. I think most of the people on national television, you know, they've got a script and an agenda to fulfill, whatever that is. And I tend to believe that the analysis that I seek out is available from a variety of websites that I go to just to try and understand and try and, you know, critically form my own picture of what is going on.
How do you evaluate the validity of those websites yourself? I mean, if they're more off the beaten path and, you know, the criticism of the media is, you know, you, whether you're on one side or the other, you can find a news outlet that gives you confirmation bias on your own thoughts. How do you avoid that?
I look for the facts in the documentation, what I believe are trusted advisors, for lack of a better word, bring out. And I make the decision myself. Like some things I don't necessarily buy. One of them for a while was saying you don't need masks, whereas two or three others were saying you do need masks. You should be wearing if you're going to be close to people because this is how this thing propagates itself. So, you know, I made a decision that masks were important. So,
which I think makes sense. I mean, from the beginning, there was this huge call to not wear masks, not hoard masks. And I think, you know, I'm just curious as whether that narrative was to ensure that the medical professionals on the front lines had masks and that the general population wasn't going out there and hoarding masks. And now that it's come to pass that they're, you know, flooding the supply chain with the mask, now they're saying, you know, if you can get masks, you should probably wear masks, which is intuitive when it comes to you alluded to.
That's what you're saying is precisely, you know, what I'm thinking. I mean, obviously I had masks. I mean, I had enough masks that I could donate some to the fire department, you know, because I don't want my paramedics in my community going out unprotected. That only makes total common sense in my view. But then again, I tend to be a common sense guy.
After the last episode that we had said, oh, I wish you would have asked me that question. So here it is. What is the first thing people should have actually went out to get?
Yeah, absolutely water. Even despite the storehouse of water that I have personally, I went out and bought some bottled water. That was the first on the list. Because if you've got guys running the water department and they get sick and they can't get to work, or running the power generation equipment, our electrical grid, and they can't get to work and are sick and they're all sprawled out, you know, as sick as dogs, you can't live without water. So water becomes critical and it's cheap. I mean, you know, 10, 20 bucks worth of water and you've got plenty. So that was the first thing. That would be the first thing.
So how many days supply worth of water do you think you would say you have on hand?
6 months.
For you and your wife or for multiple people?
It's actually just two of us now. What's really
How many cases is that?
Well, it's not cases of water. Yeah, I've got 55-gallon drums of water. So, and I replenish it. I flush it out and replenish it once a year. I've got a pretty strict schedule on how I manage water to make sure we've got enough. It's not going to be enough to necessarily do loads of wash the way we do, but you've got to have water.
Or run the bidet like Kramer does.
I'm sorry, what's that?
No, I was making a joke about Kramer running his bidet nonstop.
That's more of a necessity. I don't have all that toilet paper.
So what's your biggest concern at this point?
Length of time that American small business is shut down. Size of debt we incur with the free helicopter money they intend to hand out to everyone. And when can everybody get back to work? So I think that actually the third thing that is, I guess, of concern is what I think about is how bad will it get and what impact will that have on communities that do not have sources of food and cannot pull themselves together? And what will those people do? Mm-hmm. A lot of us always have a fear of if things were to really break down, you got a lot of people out there that don't know what they're doing. And so what are they going to do in those circumstances? Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. For quite some time, I mean, it takes a story about the electrical grid and how quickly societies devolve if electricity is removed from the equation, all communications go down, all of those types of things. And that is truly the horrific scenario and how quickly that can happen in a matter of 21 days. Because medication and food is spoiling, et cetera, et cetera. It's it.
It's all that stuff. And then how other people respond. You know, the other factor that's really kind of got me PO'd is the fact that kind of when I woke up, like a lot of us did, that 90% or 80% of our meds are made in China. And I'm sitting here, what was corporate America thinking when our country shipped all of the manufacturing overseas and everything and masks? We don't make them here. They're made overseas. Mm-hmm. And what were we thinking from a defensive standpoint? I mean, it's insanity. Quite frankly, we've been sold out by the politicians and large corporations of our country. That's the only way I can put it. They sold us out to make it cheaper, as they say, the China price. And we've all been led to believe that the China price is better. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily true. I'd rather have people here making it or some of it and have it accessible.
It'll be interesting to see who comes back now and starts making things here after all this, after what we've been through. What companies bring their business back to the United States?
I think some are going to be, if they don't, there's going to be preferences given to people that are making things in America. It's certainly woken me up to how all the economy was exported for Wall Street and the dry stock prices. And that's okay because we've all, you know, most people or a lot of people have got 401ks and IRAs and all that money is driven and we get wealthy from that. And that's great. But when you look at the long term security of the country and of the companies themselves, that hand hasn't been played right. So
in a capitalistic society, I mean, we're going to subscribe to capitalism in a free market. I think, you know, it's all about the risk to reward. And if the reward's been great enough up to this point, then that's why they do it. But now there's new risks that have reared their ugly head, and we'll see how the economy adjusts. Because if people do have a preference towards made in America, then those companies are going to start making it in America again.
Well, I think there needs to be an evaluation of the convenience and cost reduction against the national security risk of outsourcing certain aspects, whether it's the precursor drugs for our medications, whether it is PPE masks and other equipment. I think that the comb needs to be run through that hair to figure out what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and kind of balance that whole thing out. At least I'd like to see that happen because I agree that I was shocked by that as well.
And, you know, when you put on top of this, you mentioned capitalism. I think we've been operating under a crony capitalistic system for probably the past 20 or 30 years, maybe even longer than that. I would like to see a real return to fundamental free market capitalism mm-hmm. without all these politicians getting wealthy mm-hmm. by scamming us in Washington, D.C. And quite frankly, I think a good portion of them do. So
I don't disagree with that.
At what point do those politicians be concerned that what they've done is going to devolve this and there's nothing left? What does your power mean if it's gone? If it's just total chaos, you know?
Yeah, if there's total chaos, they're going to be on private jets trying to get out of the country. Their game plan is to get out or to get into a bunker where they're protected and just get away. And they're all that way. Just trust me.
So let's get back to the virus and the prepping and all that. And so as you see the risks, you know, we talked about, you know, the risk of the virus itself. We've touched on the larger economic risks this is all going to bring about and how that's yet to play out. How do you see this, or do you have a vision of how this could play out from here on? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm still assembling that. I do get concerned about a police state. I do get concerned about it being amplified and the media lapdogs yelling it enough that they roll out the National Guard or they start, you know, we've seen some early vestiges of that. That kind of thing concerns me. In the United Kingdom, they're going to homes. I mean, if you are not social distancing or quarantining yourself, they're arresting you and taking you away. No, that's their choice. But this pandemic can start out as all of us welcoming the control and the government saving us from the problem and preventing this. But governments have a tendency of hanging around for a while and keeping it in place. And before you know it, the pandemic goes away, but the cops are still in every corner and we're still, you know, we can't travel without papers, a domestic passport. Those are some of the things that concern me for the future.
I just read an article that a lot of people are going out and buying firearms, weapons, and people who never purchased a gun previously are finding out how difficult it is to actually purchase one.
Well, it's a concern because most people are going to buy a gun and never go to the range or get any instruction or get any training. And I think there's nothing worse than somebody who thinks they've got protection rather because they are self-defense protection because they've got a firearm and really don't understand what it takes to operate it and function with it in a stressful environment properly. That's a little bit concerned. It's kind of like you're given every member of an insane asylum, here's your gun. What do I do with that? I guess I'm protected now. Mm-hmm. But if they can get training, I think that's good. I just read today, I didn't realize this, but a lot of firearms training centers are considered essential. Now, in some states, they're not. But in our particular state, they're considered essential operations, so you can go train. So that's my recommendation.
Is that part of the kind of prepping you would continue to do at this point?
Yeah, there's a thing called dry firing mm-hmm. where you can practice in your home with an empty firearm and you practice. And
do you think our listeners should be thinking about acquiring firearms or what other prepping could they do at this stage?
I think it's good for every household to have some form of additional self-defense mechanism beyond a locked front door. That's my personal opinion. And so if they have to go out and buy one, hey, have fun. There's nothing in most of the stores left really worth, in my view, or suitable to it. And I know because I was checking for a couple of people that live outside of my town. I was looking to see what was available and the pickings were really slim. So even basic fundamental, like a shotgun.
I had friends call and ask me, you know, you got one for me? It's like, yeah. God, no, I don't.
And you know, the other thing is this, you can find the shotguns that are available are a $3,700 fine sport shotgunning, which is not what you need to take care of somebody who's kicking down your door because they want your cans of Spam, you know.
For that, you want a Mossberg, a family gun.
Yeah. And you know, once again, everybody's had plenty of time. And for those of us that have quote, had a bunker and have been ridiculed. I know somebody who's very happy that I'm in my position and have done what I've done because they received something that they had in the past laughed at me about.
I got a lot of messages from our first episode that people kind of rolled their eyes, and those same people reached out and are not rolling their eyes anymore after listening to our first Doomsday Prepper episode after all this is going on.
And it's not doomsday. This is like an insurance policy. You get this stuff just to have it. I mean, I've got gardening equipment. I'm doing a garden this year, not as big for some other reasons. But we've got a local CSA set up with our local farmer where I'm, you know, once a week going to be picking up food that is locally grown, that's accessible. I don't have to run to a grocery store to get my produce, which means I'll still be able to have canned corned beef or canned chicken with fresh vegetables. I'll still be able to accommodate myself if the supply chains break down at the grocery stores.
Do you think we're handling this well as a country as a whole?
I think as best we can. I have this theory that the White House has got a close group of people, including docs and advisors, that are making some pretty good decisions, but a lot of people in the rest of the government, the bureaucracy, the permanent paid political class, I think a lot of them may be trafficking in misinformation. So it really becomes the problem at the top of, are you getting accurate information? that's really, really comes down to the question. And that's why, again, I go to a lot of sources to get my information. I have a couple of people in my network. We discuss things. We share articles. What do you think? What do I think?
So a lot of people get their information from the daily reports that come on from the president. And you hear Dr. Fauci talk, and I forget who's the other doctor, Dr.
Bricks or something. Bricks.
I mean, do you find them to be reliable, or do you think that they are part of that establishment?
I think they're one of the sources. Some of them may be part of an establishment group. Fauci has got some questionable aspects to his background, just like the guy who runs the World Health Organization has got some very questionable background. And so, again, I take it as a source, but I listen to it. You know, Fauci was really late on chloroquine. Chloroquine is the drug they use to treat malaria. It's readily available anywhere. It's been around 50 years. And he was hesitant to even consider it, whereas other people in reports coming out of France and China were saying this stuff works when combined with azithromycin, which is, you know, better known as the Z-Pax. Those two work together. There's a lot of studies coming out that zinc lozenges, I can never say that word.
Lozenge.
That's it. Zinc is really strong, and intravenous vitamin C is supposed to be really good as well. But the medical industry, you know, you got to realize big pharma, if they're not making chloroquine right now and they don't control it, then they're not going to recommend it. And thus the medical industry is going to be hesitant to adapt it, whereas it might be just the miracle that works. You know, I was able to acquire some chloroquine 3 to 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I ordered some and was able to acquire it from a source I have. And was I going to self-take it? No, but if it got down to a point that I was self-treating and was at home and had six people because the hospitals were overrun, that was a very inexpensive option and backup for me to have some. Because if I had to go down that road, I had the ability, it was my choice, my decision to go that way if I chose to.
I thought I would throw out there as a disclaimer that as far as the drugs go, we are not pushing anyone to take anything that was mentioned.
No, right? Not at all. I'm very much into a self-reliant, self-choice decision-making. Does that make sense?
Well, this is not that fish tank cleaner that one couple took and the guy died.
What an idiot.
So,
sorry, you knew about that chloroquine like weeks ago. I feel like that was only in the past couple of weeks.
I've known for five. I saw the early reports coming out of China. And again, the people that I watch were talking about it. And I said, you know what? That zinc, be able to do IV vitamin C, but that's not in my realm of expertise or capabilities. But the chloroquine and Z-Pax, to be able to get that. It's just like at the very beginning of February, I was on vacation in Mexico, and I placed an Amazon order for additional masks because I wanted to make sure I had extra, and they were still readily available. So I dropped some money and got some masks, and they were delivered to my house before any of this hit, because once again, I'm reading other things. Most people are waiting for CNN to tell them what to do. Wow. That's kind of how I play my game.
You've got some good resources.
I just do a lot of reading and I watch. My wife is very into homeopathics, high immunity supplements. We've been taking those. Elderberry, we got backup on that, both locally made and then the commercially made. Just if we have to go into a mode where the contagion is spreading, it's pretty serious. We think it's going to be an issue. We've got a plan for that. So that's just kind of how we think.
So I think we've got about 4 minutes before Zoom cuts us off with our second session. So let's go around the train wreck and see if we got any final questions. Kramer, you want to start it off?
Give us one. You mentioned peakprosperity.com. Is there, that would be a good one for people to check out? Or is there any other resources that you think would be for reliable information, ones that you've vetted?
I got to be honest with you that Steve Bannon has got a podcast and a daily YouTube called War Room Pandemic. with Steve Bannon. Now, you may not like Bannon. Some people like him. He's somewhat controversial. He was part of the Trump administration. But he brings all these docs on. He's bringing a lot of divergence of opinion. He's bringing a lady who runs a rural hospital chain of like 15 hospitals in Maine and Vermont or Maine and New Hampshire. She's the chief doc, and she's talking. So that's really good. So those are two of the sources that I tend to check. Zero Hedge is pretty good for just general news on what's going on. ZeroHedge.com is good for getting news on what's happening globally. And it kind of combines economic with pandemic. So you're getting a little mix of both.
Hambone?
Okay, so on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being all is fine, 10 being freak out city man, where are you at right now?
I'm about 7.5. I'm okay. Not quite a freak out city. I don't know if you heard that. That's my wife's.
Is your wife at a 4?
Yeah, she's at a 4. She's calmed down. She was.
Well, I would like to subscribe to her newsletter.
Yeah. I'm with her on that.
Yeah. And the point being is, again, I'm watching New Orleans. I'm watching New York. I'm watching a lot. My jury's still out. I cannot form a holistic picture. Although, again, I'd rather be safe than sorry. I want to be the guy that knows what to do.
Have you guys gone from 4 to 7.5? Have you guys, on that scale of 0 to 10, have you been all over it? Or are you pretty steady?
My wife's at 4 now. She was at 9 for a couple of days and then came back down because she was discovering new information. So what number are you guys?
I'm with your wife. I'm a 3 or 4 right now.
I'm a 6.
4. One's a 6.
A hard 6.
Yeah, I think from an economic standpoint, I'm higher on that scale. But from the actual virus, I'm lower. I'm probably, on that 4 or 5 range.
Yeah, I'm at a 10 when it comes to economic because when you borrow $2 trillion or $3 trillion or print it out of nothing and it's just dropping from the sky to anybody, of course, I'll never get any. And, that starts to make me very nervous, like a reset in currency. I'm still questioning on what's going on with gold. I think that's being manipulated. So,
oil that's been crashing too because of the flood of supply, that's hit at a time when demand is extremely low. I'm talking about they're going to have to pay companies to take oil.
And it's at a time when we can't drive.
Right. That's the point. Yeah. The demand is low and the supply is extremely high.
Yeah.
So it costs money to store it. So, I mean, that has a huge impact on the economy at the time when the virus is hitting us really hard.
Yeah, I think the next couple of weeks are going to play out to see if it really starts to spread. Will it be like influenza that usually has a second wave or a third wave? Does warm weather slow it down? All those things will come into question.
Hollywood, go ahead.
My question was, we hear wash your hands, social distance, all that. What would be your words of wisdom to shout out there to people?
If you go out, which you will inevitably go out, wear a mask and gloves just and try and practice hygiene outside of your own home. I think if you don't have it within your own home, you're probably not going to have it. But venturing out, I wouldn't worry about it if you're just walking around the neighborhood. But it's when you go into areas, which you inevitably will, the grocery store, there will be other people there, Costco or wherever, or the gas pump. I'd be worried about the gas pump. I mean, the thing's filthy anyway. It's known as one of the gas pump handle is known as one of the highest places for pathogens.
You mean the bar called the gas pump handle on Route 38 that Kramer hangs out at, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he pumps gas?
Yeah.
12-ounce gas. Well, thanks, J-Dog. I think before we get cut off here, our resident prepper, we'll drop the name Doomsday. I think that's probably the safe bet. But thank you for being a guest, as always. We may have you back. And thanks to the train wreck.
More than welcome.
Yep, everybody's reporting in from their bunkers. Kramer, Hambone, and Hollywood.
Our sponsors there.
Our sponsors. You know what? I would have a Zook and Lou hat for you next time.
Love it. Listen, I'll leave you with one final thing. All of this teleconferencing, just like we're doing right now, I think is going to do amazing things for our education system and people are going to see how much you can learn online and you don't necessarily need to be in a government classroom, a government school. That's my 10 cents. So.
And that is where Zoom ended our interview with our resident prepper, J-Dog, live from our bunkers. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Trainwreck. Please subscribe and listen to our next extraordinary interview by five ordinary individuals. Check out our website at monthlytrainwreck.com and find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. We are soon to be your favorite podcast.